Welcome to Emergency Contact, where people tell good stories about bad injuries. This is the second episode, and today our esteemed guest is none other than the host from the first episode, Andy Fitch.
Hey, everybody. I'm not a doctor.
I am Brian Russo, and I am also not a doctor. And we'd like to start these shows, as you very well know, from our library of episodes.
If you've been paying attention.
Yeah. And I hope you have. Andy.
Yes.
Any injuries this week?
I got a pretty nasty paper cut the other day.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Are you lying?
No,
show me it. On your...
On my arm.
On your arm?
Yeah. I had this like stack of papers at work, and I dropped them, and they just cut me all the way down my arm.
Oh, so like how many paper cuts?
Probably like nine.
You said
I said a paper cut, but like, I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like, yeah, about 8 or 9.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's it. How about you?
I know you had a cold earlier, as in yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that, you're coming down off of that? Well,
I'm doing
that's
all right.
My answer right there.
Did you get any injuries?
I did. Yeah. I think I told you yesterday, I bashed my head open at work.
Oh, yes.
Trying to move a camera cable, and I stood up and bashed, the right side of my head, about 4 inches up, under the hairline, on the what?
Again, not a doctor.
Yeah, I mean, that's the scientific term, under the hairline.
On my head.
On my head. On the front of a camera, which is very pointy.
And how long did you bleed?
For 3 hours.
No stitches?
No. My coworker, Matt, who is an Englishman,
yeah,
immediately said you should go to the hospital. Because there was a great deal of blood on my hand originally for like the first 15 minutes. But after that, it was just like I would dab it with a napkin or a paper towel and it would be just like a little spotting of blood. Nothing too major. I mean, he couldn't see it because it was under my hair.
Yeah.
And so he goes, you should go to the hospital. And I said, oh, well, I'm American, so.
It's not how we do things here.
Yeah. Yeah, I basically said, it's going to have to be something a great deal more bloody than that to make me go to the hospital. But there was that split second where I thought, shit, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. And it wasn't like a, oh, no, I'm hurt. It was like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because I do have healthcare. I haven't had to use it in a very long time, so I don't know how to do that, especially in New York City. So that's something that I think about every time on the subway when I walk past, you know, I'm walking on the yellow line because I'm a badass.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if anyone wanted to fuck me up, they would just push me over. Even if there wasn't a train coming, like, that's a pretty big fall.
It's like 6 feet?
And
5 feet?
You know, I'd be devoured immediately by the rats, or hit the third rail if they push me far enough.
We really want to fuck you up then.
Well, I mean, you never know. You see those things happen every now and then.
I have never seen that happen.
Really? Oh, there was a big thing like last year where some guy pushed an Asian man in front of a train and killed him. There was like a manhunt for a long time.
Yeah, but you said you see it from time to time. I've never...
Well, I mean, like, a couple times a year. And you'll see the posters where it's like...
Don't push people in front of the train.
No, it's like this many hundreds of people were hurt this year.
You're right.
It all could have been avoided if you just didn't push people.
Be nice.
Okay, so we both talked about our injuries. Andy with his paper cuts, me with splitting my skull. I mean, I didn't really split my skull, but... I split my scalp, I should say. Now comes the meat of the episode which our guest tells their amazing story about an injury. No pressure. So, Andy.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this. This was very secretive. Tell me about your story.
My story?
Yeah.
I was probably 5 or 6 years old.
Which is it? We need specifics.
I'm going to say 5 years, 2 months.
Okay.
My sister and I were at a family friend's house. This family had this boy and girl, twins, and a brother that was a couple years younger than them. I was older than all of them, but you know, our parents would just like dump us at that place and we would just play with them. And other times they would dump the kids at our place and we just, you know, do what kids do.
It's just ripe for injuries.
Yeah. Oh yeah. ironically enough, it had nothing to do with anyone but me. One day we were over there, we had been playing, we were all like amped up and rambunctious and everything like that. And my dad came to pick us up and I was hyped because I knew, I don't know, because my dad was there and I was like, yeah, we're going to like go to Chuck E. Cheese or something. Or
Major Magics.
Major Magics. I don't know. I think I always kind of assumed that we were going to go to someplace that had pizza.
Well, I mean, we were in the Buffalo area where pizza and small mom and pop pizza places were a big deal.
It was so like
every corner.
Yeah. So like, I think I just assumed that and I got all psyched and I started sprinting towards the door. Then my dad had come in. And when I was really little, I had socks that they weren't too big for me, but like they came up above the ankle. And as a kid, I wouldn't like keep them pulled up. So they would flop down. So I'd have this like extra sock at the toe.
So you're saying they were loose at that point?
They were super loose.
Okay.
And I had to run from the living room where we had been playing with Legos or something like that into the kitchen to go through the kitchen towards the back door where my dad was coming in. And I'm like hauling ass as fast as a 5-year-old can go. And I turn the corner. I do one of those like cartoon like
skitters
side slides. And I start to get traction enough to go forward and my feet just flip out behind me and I fall face first into the like island in the kitchen, into the corner of it directly.
The top corner?
No, like I was like going down. So it was the side corner of this island, right in the center of my face. And, instantly split my lip, busted my two top front teeth in, and then I got like a cut on my head and there was blood everywhere. I don't remember a lot of what happened in the next like half hour or so, but I just remember being in a ton of pain and there being blood everywhere. And the next thing I remember after, you know, like crying a ton, is being in the car and my dad like kind of, you know, gathering himself, trying to figure out what we're going to do. And my mom's a nurse. And at the time she was working at, she had an office that was right near a mall. And my dad called my mom and said like, hey, this happened. And we were going to go meet her because we were going to go out to dinner anyway, hence being psyched for pizza. And so my mom couldn't like just leave right away. She had some stuff she had to take care of. And, you know, I was in one piece, sort of. So my dad was like, you know, he's trying to gauge like how bad it is, like what he should do if like I need anything. I had, you know, little pieces of ice in plastic bags that I had been just like pressing to my face. And I'm just like, like crying the entire time. And my dad decides that like, what's going to like cheer him up? Let's go to like McDonald's where there's like a play place.
Wait, while you were still injured?
Because it's like, yeah, it was, he needed something because I was like, you know, devastated. He wanted something that was going to like keep me occupied. He's like, I'll get you a milkshake. And then it was right next to where my mom's office was. So we could kind of wait for her there instead of just like driving around in the car. And the most vivid memory I have of this is being in this McDonald's play place, like sitting at the top of a slide with kids just like laughing and jumping and playing all around me, like playing tag, including my sister, who was just like, she'd climb over me and go down the slide and like go make friends with some stranger kid.
So you're just in the way.
I was just sitting there like crying in wearing a bib that had been given to me. It was the youngest brother of that family we were staying with. It was, and it had like a duck on it or something like that, but it was just caked with blood. It was like brown and there's blood all over me. And I'm just sitting at the top of this slide, like, you know, like silently weeping with my vanilla milkshake in hand while kids are just, you know, the joy of like school children is just like alive around me.
It's that painful thing where you're like, I'm so close to being a part of this, but I'm so like, I'm so hurt and bloody. I have a blood bib on.
I mean, wearing a bib in general when you're 5, you're like,
oh yeah,
you want to be a big kid. Big kids don't wear bibs. So I'm, you know, and I probably had like, I recall having like paper towels just like tucked into my, into the collar of my shirt. And you know, I was just, there was blood everywhere, like all over me. It had dried and like, I think they had stopped the bleeding in my mouth, but I was just a mess. And my mom came and of course, you know, I was comforted by that. And we ended up going home. You know, they gave me Tylenol or something like that. And I'm sure I went straight to bed because I couldn't do anything else. And the next morning, my parents had made an appointment to, you know, take care of my teeth, which two front teeth, which were just like totally fucked up.
But you're lucky because they were baby teeth, right?
They were baby teeth.
Okay. So like, who cares?
I mean, at the time I cared pretty hard. So they made this appointment with the dental office to have some surgery to remove the two front teeth, which were just like bashed in to towards the back of my throat. And I remember being very scared and nervous and not knowing what was going on, and having a very gentle doctor kind of walk me through it because they were going to put me under to do this surgery. And I remember as I was going under, having this feeling of wanting to just like jump out of the chair. I was like, I can't do this. I have to get out of the chair. Like in my head, thinking this to myself. And I don't remember if I was actually trying to move out of the chair, if I was doing that, but I distinctly remember hands on my shoulders, like holding me in the chair, which is like funny to think about now because, you know, a decade later when I got my wisdom teeth out, the same thing happened.
That you tried to get
out. I was laughing at, you know, Sonny and Cher that was playing on the overhead music. And then, you know, the nurse that would come by and say something, I was just like giggly and giddy. And I thought it was hilarious. So I was like, I want to get closer to the thing that's making me laugh. So I would sit up out of the chair and they're like, you can't do that. You have to sit down. You have to sit down. And they'd pull me back down. So I guess that's the thing I do.
Like only when you have anesthesia?
Yeah, I guess so.
We'll have to try this out.
Good thing we have.
We'll get our hands on. I mean, we're not doctors, so we don't have that at our disposal, but we could probably get it. There's a black market for that somewhere.
Yeah. So
get out of chair drugs.
So they put me under, they took the teeth out, they stitched me up, and I was super sore. But I mean, it went really well. And that I think it was that afternoon, or it might have been the next morning. My parents had to go to a funeral, and it was out of town, at a place about an hour and a half away from where we lived. And, you know, I had just been through this traumatic thing, and I couldn't, like, eat normal foods. I was still kind of, like, really dependent on people who knew the right thing to do to, you know, take care of a child who was in a lot of pain and, like, just miserable all over. But, excuse me, they took me to this town where the funeral was happening. And for some reason, my sister wasn't with us. Like she was dropped off at another like friend's house or something just to be babysat. And I don't know why I wasn't, but they took me with them to this other town instead of leaving me in Buffalo, where my sister was. And they dropped me off with this, like this woman who was, had to have been 85 minimum at the time. This lovely little old woman who lived in this house that was dusty and like creaky, and I don't know, like I have distinct memories of light shining through like dirty streaked windows. You know what I mean when I say
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I love these types of stories, is people remember distinct stuff like
yeah.
that.
It was like, this was like kind of summertime ish. And it was really hot and there was a ton of sun coming through the light in this like house that was kind of back towards these woods. And it was shining in from the front porch. And I remember going in there and not saying anything to this woman because I was 5 and I was shy and I was, you know, embarrassed by my like swollen face and my lack of two front teeth. And this woman didn't have a radio. She did not have a television. And if she did have either of those, she did not tell me she did.
She's hiding them all.
My parents, you know, they said, you know, you're going to stay with this person. We're going to come back and get you in a little while, blah, blah, blah. They explained the whole thing. And I think I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. And I was 5. I didn't really get what was going on. I didn't have any choice. Mm. They were leaving me with this old woman.
Do Do you know who this was?
I have no idea.
They said that, as you said that, you're like, you're going to stay here with this person.
Yeah.
So it was a family friend?
Yeah.
I mean, a relative.
She might have been like my mom's aunt or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Like somebody that was, you know, significantly older, someone I had never met before, and I don't think I met after. Yeah.
And if you did meet, it was like when you were like 5 months old.
Right. So I'm in this like creaky, like dusty house. And the woman, like I said, she was very sweet and she was very kind and tender to me as, you know, a kid who was scared, like probably visibly like upset at my surroundings, including upset of about my face. And I just remember being on her like enclosed back porch with the sun coming in and just drawing with like a lead pencil, like no eraser, on like kind of thin, like almost transfer paper, kind
tissue
of like
paper.
Yeah, like there's like tracing paper, just like drawing, like nothing else, no crayons, no anything. And she would periodically bring me peeled grapes, like green grapes that she had peeled, which has got to be tedious.
Yeah.
In these little paper cups, like the little ones that like fan out.
Pills?
Yeah.
Or like a ketchup?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. She would bring me like three of them at a time in that. And I'd just like, you know, mush them with the teeth that I could chew with.
It sounds like she was making, like giving you them as she was peeling.
Yeah.
Like three at a time. She's like, I got to get back to work.
Exactly. It was over the course of like probably an hour. So I just had nothing but peeled grapes in these little cups. She brought me a new cup every time. And I drew pictures with this gigantic lead pencil. And then my parents took me back. Yeah.
So aftermath.
Yeah.
Your teeth, did you have to pull them or did they get knocked out?
No, they were still in my face. That's why
they were pushed back.
They were pushed back, uh-huh, like up into the roof of my mouth, which, you know, causes a ton of different problems. And they were worried about the other teeth being affected by that. So they wanted to pull them out as soon as possible. And when they pulled them out, they actually like gave them to me. I remember them offering them to me or at least showing them to me.
Oh, to like hang on to.
And they were disgusting. It was one of the most upsetting things I think I saw as a child, because I didn't witness a lot of like bloody scenarios at age 5.
Now, is that a thing that people do, like hang on to teeth? Because I just watched an episode of House of Cards and Robin Wright, her mother in the show was showing her mom's jewelry, like her grandma's jewelry. And she goes, oh, what's this? And she pulls out like a little black pouch and she's like, open it and see. And she pours it into her hand and it's just all of her baby teeth. It's really creepy. Like,
I think that's something some people do. That makes sense to me. But I remember, you know, there's like shops, little bodegas. It's like
teeth,
creepy oddities or something. Yeah. And they'll have like mason jars full of teeth.
Oh, that's really creepy.
So somebody's collecting them. I don't think we took them. Maybe my parents did. I think they did they said they did in some way, because I remember there being some kind of like big tooth fairy payout with this.
Oh yeah. Well, like, it's like they didn't want you to feel bad that you were losing two of your front teeth.
Right.
So they really broke open the wallet for that. Oh, I'm sorry, the tooth fairy did.
Tooth fairy is like, sorry, I didn't want to have to do it like this.
Let's spoil the fact that there's no tooth fairy.
What? No, the tooth fairy is like, felt bad about taking the teeth in this manner. She's like, you weren't supposed to leave them like this.
It was too soon.
It wasn't supposed to go down like that.
Before their time.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, once that happened, I didn't have my front teeth for a long time, mm-hmm, which was a delight to...
Well, they weren't ready to come out. That's why.
Right. They weren't ready to come out for probably another 2 years or so. It was just a joyous thing for every like little old woman in our church and like neighbor and relative.
They just loved misfortune.
Like a little kid with like no front teeth was just like an adorable thing. And when I would smile, my tongue would come through the gap in my teeth. Like I couldn't help it. So it was just like, you saw this little pink thing sticking out of my mouth.
Like Ewoks from Return of the Jedi?
Exactly. And there's a bunch of pictures of me in like a little suit with a red bow tie with that smile and my tongue just sticking right out.
Now let me ask you this. Did you put two Chiclets in the front of your mouth?
No.
Like
Dennis the Menace had not come out at the time.
That technology wasn't available.
Yeah. it wasn't something that was like on the radar for 5-year-old Andy.
Of course.
But when my two front teeth did come in as like a 6 or 7-year-old, they were enormous. Like they might as well have been chiclets. Like they did not fit my head. I've been growing into my teeth for 15 years.
Well, I had a similar situation where I lost both of my front baby teeth in an apple at once. Both of them came out at the same time. And
just like clean?
Yeah. Like in the apple, look down. Oh, hey, look at that.
Did you eat them?
No.
That's like a common thing that somebody
would eat your teeth?
Yeah, like somebody would like, they'd chew on a piece of caramel, it would pull one of their teeth out and they would swallow it not knowing it.
Caramel?
All right.
They both came out and so then I had to wait for them, like one was coming in faster than the other and like it didn't really, like they both came in big and then they didn't come in right, and that's why I still have a space in my front teeth.
But they're very straight.
They're straight, but it's like a straight space. It's not like a big gap, but it's just like, it's a little gap. And my whole life, my mom's like, oh, it's a character building. It's like David Letterman. I'm like, I don't want to look like David Letterman. Okay, so that's the end of Andy's story. I think what we've learned here is don't get hurt, otherwise you won't get pizza.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get any, right?
I mean...
But you did get ice cream.
I got grapes for a couple days, and then I got...
Peeled grapes, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, there's work involved.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Andy thought of a game for this podcast, so we're debuting it today. Andy, would you like to tell everyone what the name of the game is?
I think the unofficial name is Celebrities. They bleed just like the rest of us.
Cue the theme song.
It's when we play Raining Blood.
Okay.
Raining Blood wouldn't be, it would be funny.
No, we might use Raining Blood.
Anyway.
So, the name of the game is Celebrities. They bleed just like us. And this is how it works. I have researched and come up with 3 different celebrity injuries. Not super well known, like Harrison Ford crashing his plane. Not that. Or Harrison Ford breaking his ankle on the Millennium Falcon. Not that.
Or Harrison Ford falling down an elevator shaft. Not that.
Yeah. Okay. So this is multiple choice.
Okay.
So you're going to have a couple of them. In 2013, this celebrity fell outside of their home and broke their jaw. A, Zach Braff. B, Zach Woods.
Ooh.
C, Zach Efron. Or D, all of the above.
Who's the first one?
There's Zach Braff, Zach Woods, Zach Efron, all of the above.
I am going to go with Zach Braff solely because, you know what? He seems like the type of guy to fall down.
And break his jaw?
I don't know. I mean, anybody could, but I feel like, I don't know.
He's tall. They're all, I should say, Zach Woods and Zach Braff are tall. I think Zach Efron's a little on the shorter side.
I just feel like I had seen things that would have been filmed around that time that like Zac Efron and Zach Woods were in. Whereas Zach Braff, I don't know what he did.
He's making a Kickstarter.
Yeah, he had a Kickstarter for that movie and, you know, I didn't see that. Maybe he had his jaw wired shut during it, but I'm pretty sure. Oh, that's him now. That's Zach Braff. I'm going to go with Zach Braff.
Okay. Final answer.
Final answer.
A, Zach Braff. Incorrect.
Ah.
It was Zac Efron.
Really?
Surprising. Because I thought he was in like 4 movies in those years.
Yeah, and you know, he's got, because of abs, he's got that core strength. He should have good balance. Yeah.
Everyone, I think Zach Braff's probably got like 10 years on him. Okay, number 2. This is another falling injury. Actually, I think all 3 of these are falling.
All right.
Number 2. In 2009, this celebrity fell on stage, not falling off stage, while performing with Taylor Swift at her concert, and they broke their foot. A, Justin Timberlake. B, Justin Bieber. C, Justin Moore, a country singer. Or D, all of the above. And this is 2009 pre-pop Taylor Swift.
I mean, I'm going to go with C only because, again, maybe I'm not paying enough attention to other people's health, but...
Well, I mean, as I said, these are not well-known injuries.
Yeah.
You want them again?
No, I'm going to stick with C.
C, Justin Moore.
Sure.
Not all of the above. They were all on stage at that concert.
They were doing that, like...
Is it We Are the World?
they were doing, like, a three-legged race during a song.
They all broke the one foot that was tied together.
Well, that's because there should have been three of them. The three legs would be two people. They had too many people to do a three-legged race.
Okay, so C, Justin Moore. Incorrect.
God damn it.
It was Justin Bieber. Young Biebs. This is 2009, so 7 years ago. He was what, like 15?
14, something. Yeah.
Something like that. It was breaking out, like his first...
Acne.
No, maybe, he's young. Okay, so that's two strikes against you. This one's for all the ducats. All
right.
Okay, this is my favorite one.
Okay.
While filming a scene for a movie, this celebrity fell 25 feet headfirst into a rock, fracturing a piece of their skull that shot into their brain.
Oh my God.
They're okay. I don't have a year on this, though. A, Jackie Chan. B, Zoe Bell, who is a stunt person that works with Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. C, Viggo Mortensen, or D, all of the above. these are people that typically do their own stunts.
Right. You said fell 25 feet and hit a rock?
They fell 25 feet head first into a rock, fracturing a piece of their skull that shot into their brain. No year to help you on this one, though. You want to hear him again?
No. I think I'm going to go. I'm gonna go see again. Viggo Mortensen, only because I just feel like I don't know, like doing all those Lord of the Rings movies. He's probably around a lot of rocks. But where would he have fallen?
For some reason, Lord of the Rings didn't dawn on me.
Yeah,
like I was thinking this was like an Eastern Promises kind of era. But again, I don't have a year.
I don't know enough about stunt people and Jackie Chan. Yeah, I'm going to go with Viggo. It's Viggo.
It's Viggo. Doesn't that sound nice? You say C, Viggo Mortensen?
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect. It was Jackie Chan.
Oh, damn it. I lost all my ducats.
All of the ducats go to me now.
Do you know what movie it was? Or
I don't. This was very quickly researched before you got here. And that was...
Celebrities. They bleed just like us.
Yes. So that's all the time we have for today.
Be safe.
I guess. I mean, we could do it longer, but my roommates are now stomping around.
Be safe out there.
Hey, guys, be safe. Because as much as we like to talk about injuries, we don't like getting them.
Yeah. And we don't want you to get them either.
Andy, do you have anything you'd like to promote before you leave?
I'll promote us. Double Prizes, youtube.com/DoublePrizesMedia. What about you? You got anything you want to plug?
Well, aside from Double Prizes Media, which is our sketch group, I would also like to promote a YouTube page. This one is called Beefcake Obama. So it's youtube.com/BeefcakeObama. Just really good... well-written videos.
good internet content.
Yeah, they've been around for a while now. I think since Obama. But it's great stuff. Okay, thank you, Andy, for being here.
No problem.
We'll be back next week with someone else who's telling a terrible story that we like. This was Emergency Contact Episode 2. Thank you for listening. Bye.